Dear brothers and sisters in Jesus, grace and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. An excerpt from our reading before to serve as our sermon text, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. But I will stop with his first name tonight. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The authority to rule will rest on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful. Dear friends in Jesus, we love Christmas carols. And as soon as December hits, sometimes if you turn to the right station, it's like drinking from a fire hose of Christmas carols. And that can be very joyful. A great way to prepare for the Advent season. Or maybe if you've done what we did the other night, we just got out of the house and we drove to a house we heard about where they had set up lights, timed to music. If you just set your station to the right frequency, and man, that was great. Great for us adults to see and great to see through the eyes of a 1.5-year-old who's talking more and more and more. Carols get us ready for Christmas in some way, shape, or form. And that's what the whole season of Advent is about, getting us ready for Jesus Christ's coming. How many comings? First, his coming at Christmas. Second, his coming on the last day. And one theme that we can pick out for tonight that helps us get ready for Jesus Christ's first as well as his second coming is that of wonderment. After all, you've heard it before. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Andy Williams sang this over 50 years ago. Times have changed. Let me read a few excerpts to demonstrate that. It's the most wonderful time of the year, with the kids jingle-belling and everyone telling you, be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting, caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of the Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There will be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time of the year. What a celebration of activities associated with Christmas. You've got get-togethers between friends and family, all kinds of activities, social events. Sounds pretty wonderful this time of this year. Talks about ghost stories. Apparently, that used to be a tradition to tell scary ghost stories at Christmas time. And I think the best semblance we have of that from the Victorian era until now is Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, where you have a ghost of Christmas past, Christmas present, Christmas future. Apparently, that was a thing to tell ghost stories during Christmas. Hosting parties, visits from friends, spending time with loved ones, sledding, roasted marshmallows, and the list goes on. A lot of things to decorate our Christmas time and Advent time. But if you don't have one other thing, I wonder how truly wonderful Christmas could be. Getting ready for Christ's coming is more than just a social event or a get-together with friends. After all, if we think about ourselves and our status with God, if we think about the way that we've treated what he's told us to do and what not to do, even with our family and our friends, we've been remarkably unwonderful. If you think about times when you get to pack up and go, sounds like a nice idea. Then all the frustrations and the anxieties of getting ready with the whole family, making sure everyone has everything and bundling up and throwing it in the back. unless your family is extremely organized. That always seems to come with some unwonderful sins. Or maybe when you're hosting people, getting everything ready in the house, making sure everything looked nice enough, making sure all the food was appropriate. Maybe this year it's okay to think about how that wasn't always seamless either. And who were the people we hurt the most, but our family in our unwonderful moments of tense and frustrated sin. Well, what about when it comes to Christmas materialism? All of the things we can get, it's easier than ever to swipe our finger and purchase something. It arrives at your door, even if you're quarantined. It's the most amazing thing. Wonderful. But then that comes with a little bit of greed, attitudes of possessiveness, and what's mine rather than what truly belongs to God this time of year. Or maybe attitudes of pointing the unwonderful finger of blame at people who don't behave the way that we think they ought to or aren't just like us. How we have been wondrous sinners. So, if Christmas is just about a jolly good time, has nothing to do with reflecting about our own sins, then are we truly prepared? Are we ready for His coming if we haven't focused on what we've done wrong and how unwonderful we have been? And so Isaiah says tonight that something is truly wonderful. And it only comes after you've reflected on your sins and understood how you truly stand before God if you were all alone. It started with this, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders." Now that might not sound so wonderful. We don't really have any context of who this child is, when he's going to be born, what's this on his shoulders? Is he going to be really stressed? Is it a lot of pressure? Will he govern well? Or will he just be oppressed? But the prophet continues, and the first part becomes more clear. And he will be named Wonderful. We often take that with the next word, Counselor. But that's not necessarily true. In the Hebrew, there might be what you would call a comma after the word wonderful, that it would be taken on its own. It's a beautiful word. I'm not sure if it sounds beautiful. It sounds like Pella in Hebrew. But it means wonderful. And it means something that is outlandishly supernatural. Something mysterious and beautiful. It's not the first time you hear this word, Pella, in the Bible. It comes up in the book of Judges when the birth of Samson is announced. Judges chapter 13. And in Judges chapter 13, the angel of the Lord visits a man named Manoah and his wife. It's one of the stories where one of the accounts where we kind of figure the angel of the Lord is the pre-incarnate Christ because he accepts worship. And Manoah and his wife ask him, "What is your name?" And the angel of the Lord says, "Why do you ask my name? It is wonderful." I don't know if it's one thing or the other. I'm not sure if he's saying, "My name is Peli," the same Hebrew root, wonderful, that's the title of me. Or if he's describing his name, "My name is Wonderful." Almost as if to say, why do you ask my name? It's something that can't even be expressed in your language or in human language. It's unpronounceable. It's unutterable. It's just too good. It's that wonderful. Isn't that our God? Isn't He just that unutterably, inexpressibly wonderful? Isn't this a good time of year to ponder over that? That God could send His Son, Jesus Christ, to be for us, to be among us, to be God with us, Emmanuel, to be our wonderful. That's wonderful. But then God actually tells us That's his name. Wonderful. Wonderful it is. We marvel at the wonders of a holiday. We marvel at the joys that God gives us. So many blessings of family and friends. So many things that cause our hearts to hurt this time of year if we can't be with them. Or if we don't expect to be with them. But this is far more than Christmas traditions. This is a God who leads us with a firm hand. Leads the nations of the world. And calls history his story. This is the God who gently leads the sinner as he led Abraham or Esther in that great book. This is God who also directs your life and mine. He promises in Psalm 32 verse 8, I will guide you, keeping my eye on you. Just found out today that one of our members, Steve Dram's dad, has also recovered from coronavirus. Ken Dram is a four-time cancer survivor. What a wonder. What a wonderful God we have. We marvel at his unsearchable judgments. Sometimes we see stories in the scripture like Saul, who was set up to be such a wonderful king, but then went down in defeat and death. David fell into scarlet sins, and we marvel at God's unsearchable judgments when he was lifted out of this transgression, and his sin was covered over like a blizzard of snow. And that much forgiveness, as we heard last Wednesday. Again, the old live, and the young die. The wicked prosper for a time, and Christians suffer. Why does it all happen this way? For now, we see a poor reflection as in a mirror. It is a mystery. But when we are around the throne of God, there will be no darkness. His ways are higher than ours, and how unsearchable are his judgments past finding out. Nevertheless, God has a plan for every soul. And so we wonder and marvel at God's way of saving souls. The world... Human beings lay conquest with sword, with battlefield, with shouting, with social media and satellites. They try to get their point across through hostile takeovers, through politics, through propaganda, through false teachers. God's way is the foolishness of preaching. That's what Scripture itself declares. God's way is sending his one and only Son. How wonderful his incarnation through a virgin birth. What a wonder that we could ponder it. By the shedding of blood, he pays the ransom price. He died for us while we were still sinners. He carried our sins away just as he carried the sins of David away. And so he prepares us for his second coming. By coming to us in word and sacrament, the true God in true man, God with us, Emmanuel. Human reason, though it ponders, cannot fathom these great wonders. We can't replicate it. We can't imagine the wonders of God. There's a line in our carol about the happiest season of all. And growing up, I always heard it this way, the laugh happiest season of all. Did anyone ever hear it that way? Or is it just me? The laugh happiest season of all. But I don't think that's too far off. Because as the most wonderful time of year, it is cause for hope and joy and wonderment and amazement and, of course, laughter. The most wonderful time. Perhaps more than any other church season. Could be rivaled by Easter. But there we can at least quantify it. God was dead, and now he's alive again. Or Jesus Christ's ascension, but then we can at least describe what he's doing. He's Going into heaven, he's taking his throne in his heavenly home to reign for us at the right hand of God. But in Christmas, immense, unutterable, immeasurable God in true man, I can't wrap my head around it. It is wonderful. The most wonderful. In the name of the most wonderful, Jesus Christ. Amen.